This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the second hour of our program. Boy, there's a lot in the news today. Donald Trump is being attacked by Amorosa and Manigault Newman. And because she's African-American, of course, how is he going to respond? The same way he responds to pretty much all African-Americans he doesn't like. He's going to call her stupid. And sure enough, there you go. She is, quote, vicious but not smart. Donald Trump is tweeting this morning. Black people not smart. This is, you know, this is the racist trope, right? This is the sales pitch that the white racists have made to other white people for 400 years in what's now the United States. And Donald Trump is still promoting it. And the fact that this doesn't shock us should shock us, frankly. Meanwhile, the White House, while they're perfectly happy to use our soldiers as props, they are instead working with the banks to destroy the lives of our soldiers. This from NPR. NPR has obtained documents that show that the White House is proposing changes that critics say would leave service members vulnerable to getting ripped off when they buy cars. Separately, the administration is taking broader steps to roll back enforcement of the Military Lending Act. The MLA, the Military Lending Act, is supposed to protect service members from predatory loans and financial products. And then they asked an attorney about this. This is Christopher Peterson. He's a law professor at the University of Utah. He reviewed these documents coming out of the White House. And he says, if the White House does this, it will be manipulating the Military Lending Act regulations at the behest of auto dealers and banks to try and make it easier to sell overpriced rip-off products to military service members. Well, it shouldn't surprise you. I mean, remember, Trump was involved with that phony veterans group back before the election. And they were raising money for Trump as veterans. And then, you know, the leaders of the group were putting the money in their pocket and they were sending some of it to Trump. I think more and more people are waking up to this. One of the indications I got from this, I was talking to a dear friend of mine over the weekend. We'll call him George. And he was regularly getting together with another person that he and I both knew, Jack. This was down in the LA area, and every week, once a week, at this restaurant down near I don't want to say where it is, but anyhow, in that area. And Jack is really outspoken, right? And he can be fairly loud. He was also quite elderly. I don't think he heard that well. He certainly was losing his seeing, his sight. But Jack would speak loudly about how much he hated Trump. And over time, I mean, they met every week in this restaurant and or this diner, deli, whatever it was, and people would overhear the conversation and come over and join them. Oh yeah, I hate Trump too. And it became like this weekly little social group. They call themselves the Hate Trump Club. And Jack died a few months ago. And George was telling me on Sunday that he went back to the restaurant to see if the club was still meeting. And sure enough, there they were, same time, same place, and still calling themselves the Hate Trump Club. I wonder if this is something that's happening all across the United States, or if it's something that is going to happen all across the United States. Meanwhile, while Trump is tweeting about how stupid black people are, Kyle Griffin is tweeting over, over on Twitter, quote, Donald Trump, he's tweeting an article from Politico, and he writes, Trump kept calling on the telephone, calling world leaders while they were asleep, because he apparently has difficulty understanding time zones, according to Politico. Trump aides have had to explain the issue, time zones, which one diplomatic source said came up on a, quote, a constant basis. That should concern us all. I mean, you know, there is this story out there that Trump, well, Amorosa is actually talking about it, that Trump is actually in mental decline, whether it's age or whether it's Alzheimer's or whether it's just normal age-related cognitive decline. Who knows? But it's something that, when you compare, there's a thing floating around the internet. It's been a while since I saw it. I'm guessing it's still up on YouTube. where they flash back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between Donald Trump in the 1980s being very articulate, being very informed, knowing what he was talking about, speaking in full sentences and entire paragraphs, and then Donald Trump in 2016 or 17 talking in slogans and repeating himself two and three times and mangled sentences and things like that. Meanwhile, apropos of the D.C. event over the weekend, a couple of thoughts on this. First of all, if I came on the air and said, okay, the D.C. police, the Black Lives Matter is holding a demonstration, the entire national media is showing up for it, D.C. police are escorting the Black Lives Matter folks on their own train car into the city and escorting them with police protection to Liberty Park or Freedom Park or whatever this thing is called, you know, the new near the White House, over to the White House. And the police are protecting them and guarding them. And like in Portland, they guarded the white supremacists and they injured several anti-fascist protesters. If I said that, you would probably think, nah. And of course, no. But that's what happened with the right-wingers, the hate-filled white racist terrorist supporters were told by the D.C. police, yeah, we've got your back. We're gonna take you in. We're gonna get, you know, it's all good. We'll protect you, just like they did here in Portland a few weeks ago. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., the restaurants of that city had their very own message, which was very much in contrast to the message of the police department for these white racists. This is a Kingfisher restaurant. They had signs on either both doors. One said, free popcorn, except for Nazis who can go F themselves. And then the one at the other door said, all are welcome, with an asterisk. And then the asterisk says, except racist fascist S-heels, they can F off right, they can F right off. Another restaurant, this is from Cafe Chocolate. D.C. is great because it's diverse, multi-ethnic, and multicultural. We'll keep it that way. Outside Glenn's Garden Market, it says, haters gonna hate, but they ain't gonna hate in this house. Comet Ping Pong says, all are welcome except white supremacists. This was a sign on their door. Here's another door sign. This is from, let's see. I don't have the name of the restaurant, courtesy of Pow Wow. No shirts, no shoes, no service. We reserve the right to refuse service to jerks, neo-Nazis, including but not limited to alt-right, Proud Boys, Patriot Prayer, Patriot Front, something, something, and now it's getting so small, you know, something clowns, etc. This from the Passenger restaurant in D.C. Is your mom proud of you today? Probably not if you're Nazi scum. This has signs. This is a chalk sign right out in front of the restaurant. This one is from. Oh, it doesn't say the exact name of the market. It's over in Eastern Market. It's another one. Sugar Donuts Shack and Coffee says donuts are all about love. Sugar Shack welcomes tolerance and kindness. We don't serve hate here. The Mate in Georgetown, humanity is based on tolerance and respect. That's it. Hate is not served here. And Boucher's Saloon, love over hate, love over indifference, love over ignorance, love over ego, love over fear, love over barriers, love over boundaries, borders, and over again. Sweet. So a lot of that going on. In the meantime, over on Daily Kos, this is a great opening for Monday. Bill in Portland, Maine writes, good morning, it's Monday. Another week begins and a majority of Americans still want Medicare for all, universal back checks on gun purchases, equality for gay citizens, immediate or LGBTQ citizens, immediate congressional action to protect dreamers, convenient access to safe abortion services, pay parity, an EPA that actually protects the environment, treating our NATO allies as allies, humane immigration policies, the Mueller investigation to continue, appropriate scorn for racists, bigots, and misogynists, respect for the rule of law, livable minimum wage, net neutrality protections, paid maternity and sick leave, less influence in elections by corporations and the wealthy, full funding and strengthening of the Affordable Care Act, strong independent press, reality-based sex ed, fully funded public schools, equal opportunities for women and minorities, criminal justice reform, more investment in green energy, higher taxes on the rich, restrictions on assault weapons, universal pre-K, consumer protections that actually protect consumers, marijuana legalization, and leaders who put country over party. Unfortunately, leaders who represent the minority of Americans are in charge at the moment. We can help change that in just 85 days. There you go. And then Comrade E.L. asterisk N.H. asterisk S.K. says, a year ago, this rally drew hundreds of open neo-Nazis. Today, it grew 20. They admit it's because they don't feel safe. This victory is due to militant and occasionally violent anti-fascist organizing. This proves, Comrade tweets, concretely, that Antifa tactics work. Very interesting. Why do you think all these Nazis didn't show up? 16 and a half minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Back with more of the news of the day. Boy, I got to get into Stephen Miller's uncle here, too, and your calls right after this. And welcome back. Jeanette, watching Free Speech TV in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Jeanette, what's on your mind today?
Hi, I learned so very much from your show, and I wanted to talk about Citizens United, but you bringing down discussion of fires. Oh, we're in southern Wisconsin, and yet we're getting fog in the morning from the Canadian fires.
Oh,
and right now, Wisconsin has a lot of rain, and we have wonderful crops, but nothing's to happen if we don't realize that we could have constant drought here, and we could all be on fire, too.
Yeah.
So we better start to wake up, and then they say the 2020 election should have as a major issue climate change, because we're all in this together, even though California's burning and we as human beings don't see that as our threat. It is our threat.
Yeah, and that is climate change, by the way. So
I'd like to talk about Citizens United, if I might.
Sure.
I watched Nancy Pelosi on television, and much of what she said a couple of days ago reinforced what I feel as a Democrat. But then she said she's a person of power, and that she can bring so much money into the Democratic Party. And, oh, boy, I didn't want to hear that. I want money out of if you think Chris Collins with $54 million is the 10th richest congressman in the U.S. Congress. We've got to get the money out. And I wonder, too, if she is a person that can be replaced, and she has a lot of bad blood in the country about her, as Hillary did. And I'm wondering if we should not go with a younger face that doesn't hold all that baggage. Thank you. What's your comment, sir?
I think it's possible, Jeanette, but I'm also concerned that we're playing the Republicans' game. I mean, they went to extreme lengths over the 8 years of Hillary Clinton's first lady time to villainize and cartoonize her, to turn her into a caricature. When she first became first lady, when Bill Clinton first became president in 93, she said, I'm not going to be a first lady who just bakes cookies. She was going to be, an actual involved in policy. And in fact, she proposed a national health care system. Right, it never got out of the White House, but she put together a task force and came up with this plan, and she was pilloried for it. She was attacked for it, and those attacks never stopped, right? Because she was a powerful woman. Nancy Pelosi is a powerful woman. The attacks never stop. I'm concerned that the Democratic Party is not pushing back against this kind of misogyny. These are wealthy white male Republicans who are attacking Hillary Clinton or have attacked. I mean, she's kind of out of the public eye now, and Nancy Pelosi, and basically, frankly, any other woman or person of color who dares to stand up. And I would like to see the Democratic Party fighting back and saying, what problem do you have specifically with Nancy Pelosi? I don't know of a problem with her. Do you?
May I ask, what will it take to overturn the Citizens United?
It'll take Congress. It would take a constitutional amendment. I mean, arguably it could be done by legislation, but I think it's going to take a constitutional amendment. That requires 2/3 of the House, 2/3 of the Senate, 3/4 of the states.
Do you see it possibly happening? Because
yes.
We have a whole corrupt.
Yeah, I absolutely see it happening, Jeanette. And I think that the reason why is because, like yourself, the rest of America is disgusted by the role of money in politics. And there is broad support for a constitutional amendment that would overturn Citizens United. By broad, I mean more than 50%. But there's more than 50% support for a lot of things that are not happening right now because the billionaires and the Republicans control Congress. That's what we've got to change. Jeanette, thank you for the call. We'll be right back. Oh, my. I mentioned Stephen Miller. There's so much stuff in the news that I want to bounce through a bunch of things for you real quickly here, and then we'll get to, you know, taking your phone calls and that sort of thing. Stephen Miller's uncle, Dr. David Glosser, he's a retired neuropsychologist. He talks about the Jewish roots in Stephen Miller's mother's family, which is he's Stephen Miller's mother's brother. Stephen Miller, of course, the right-wing white supremacist in the White House who is dictating U.S. immigration policy. And, a very troubled guy. I mean, you look back even in his high school days, he was trashing Hispanics and black people. His uncle now has come out and said, and I quote, "I have watched with dismay and increasing horror as my nephew, who is an educated man and well aware of his heritage, has become the architect of immigration policies that repudiate the very foundation of our family's life in this country." Glosser talks about how, you know, their grandparents came over here from Europe, you know, fleeing the Nazis. He goes on, "Trump publicly parades the grieving families of people hurt or killed by migrants, just as the early Nazis dredged up Jewish criminals to frighten and enrage their political base to justify persecution of all Jews." Now that one made me stop. The Nazis in the early 30s, every time a Jew committed a crime, it became big news in the Nazi newspapers, and the Nazis promoted it. And once they took control of the newspapers in 1933, they promoted it all across the country for years. Here are the crimes Jews committed this week. Here are the crimes Jews committed this month. Here's another horrible Jewish criminal, right? This is what the Nazis did. Trump is doing the same thing with brown-skinned immigrants. Do you think for a moment if the people coming from Mexico had, you know, looked the same as people coming from Norway, that Trump would be doing this? I don't. This is all about, as Laura Ingraham says, demographic changes. In other words, the browning of America. And it's just not a good thing. There's an amazing piece over at Wired.com about this company called JPay. And if you're in prison now in the United States in one of these private for-profit prisons, which are exploding across the country, and even some of the state-run prisons, if you want to send or receive a message, you have to pay per email to this company, JPay. They're making millions of dollars on prisoners because they figured out that if a member of your family is in prison, you'll do or pay just about anything to stay in touch with them. This is like we've become a nation of predators now that we've turned our governance over to the Republican Party and the billionaires. They're greedy predators, and they're preying on all of us. Here's another piece of this fear-mongering. This is from Tony Perkins, the so-called Family Research Council. "Beginning this month, they don't want any American child to escape. Read how we can stop them. They? Government-run schools. The radicals? Teachers." Tony Perkins, "If a foreign enemy had plotted to infiltrate America, I'm not sure an army of undercover subversives could have done more damage than our government-run schools. Leftists don't want a single American child to escape their thought control. They are crowding out true education." True education, of course, is what you get when you watch Fox News. He said, "Today's science classes will feature big government political propaganda, taking time and focus away from true science, not to mention attacks on the Bible and arrogant censoring of theories like intelligent design." So astronomy, evolution, climate change, this is government propaganda that is being promoted in our schools? Yeah, apparently. And finally, Ajit Pai, the head of the FCC, apparently lied to Congress Over a million people tried to post yes, save net neutrality comments to the FCC's website. It crashed. Ajit Pai came out and said it was under attack and there weren't any posts. He told Congress this. He lied to Congress, and we now know that he knew that he was lying. So will the Democrats in Congress try to hold Ajit Pai accountable? I realize they don't have the power to do it. They might after January 20th. Will they hold Ajit Pai criminally responsible for lying to Congress? It's a five-year felony. Call your congressman and ask him.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Or your congresswoman, as the case may be. We'll be back with your calls and more of the news of the day right after this. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Peter Strzok just was fired by the FBI. Laura Jarrett, the justice correspondent at CNN, is tweeting about this. The decision to fire agent, Special Agent Strzok, is not only a departure from typical bureau practice, this is from a statement by Strzok, but also contradicts Director Wray's testimony to Congress and his assurances that the FBI intended to follow its regular process in this and all personnel matters. This decision should be deeply troubling to all Americans, says Strzok. A lengthy investigation and multiple rounds of congressional testimony failed to produce a shred of evidence that Special Agent Strzok's personal views ever affected his work. In fact, in his decades of service, Special Agent Strzok has proved himself to be one of the country's top counterintelligence officers, leading to only one conclusion. The decision to terminate was taken in response to political pressure and has punished Special Agent Strzok for political speech protected by the First Amendment, not on a fair and independent examination of the facts. Amen. Actually, this is not from Strzok. This is apparently from CNN. I absolutely agree. And Democratic Underground just does, they do these really great little memes up at the top, you know, every week or every day they seem to produce a new one. This one, Wing Nuts of the Weekend, House GOP edition. In 2017, Steve West told a radio show that Hitler was right. West is now the Republican candidate for Missouri House District 15 after winning the Republican primary. In a secret recording at a GOP fundraiser, House Intel Committee Chairman Devin Nunes told donors that his job is to protect Trump at all costs. By the way, he's in Azerbaijan right now. Why? Who knows? I mean, they've got a bunch of billionaire oligarchs there, you know, big oil industry. Melissa Howard, the Republican candidate for the Florida House, posed with her diploma for a social media pic. Turns out her diploma and her degree are fakes. Bob Goodlatte, the Republican from Virginia, how popular is he? His own son just made the maximum possible donation to his Democratic opponent and urged voters to flip the district. And then finally, this is where it gets really bizarre. Representative Chris Collins, the 10th richest man in Congress of New York, has decided not to run for re-election after being arrested for insider trading. Stepping up to run for the seat is GOP stalwart Carl Paladino, who lost his previous job after saying Michelle Obama, quote, should return to being a male and be let loose in the outback of Zimbabwe. That's the guy who's running as the Republican now. I don't know if he's got it nailed down, but, you know, what an incredible story. Donna in Bonnie Lake, Washington. Hey, Donna, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, good morning, Tom. So I signed up to be PCO for my district.
Precinct committee.
In January, but I'm already doing the work. Mm-hmm. And I'm just asking people to just contribute a little bit more time to their local districts and Democratic organization, because it always seems to fall on a few of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's typically the way volunteer organizations work. It's unfortunate, but it is.
Yeah, and we've got the 8th CD Reichert seat,
mm-hmm.
and we are trying to get a Democrat in there, and Kim Schreier won. We had three good candidates running this time, and it was tough for us to endorse one, but Kim Schreier made it, and, you know, we'll be door-knocking for her and or phone calling, whatever people can do, even if it's once, you know, just to commit a little bit more time, because it's going to take, you know, Democratic majorities to start changing
things. This is the one thing that we have, Donna. You know, we may not have billions of dollars. We may not own big media companies, But we have our time. We have a little bit of time and energy. You can work from your home. You can call on behalf of candidates. You canvass. You can. There's just all kinds of things you can do. You don't have to send money. You don't have to be rich. You don't even have to necessarily show up, although it's really great when people do at Democratic Party events and join and get on the inside. Donna, thank you for the moment of inspiration there. Amen. JC in San Francisco. Hey, JC, what's up?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I want to be the first, at least, to brand Eva Rosa, Eva Rosa. This woman's going to be taking questions and termed as some sort of icon of opposition to Trump. And she's been fired from every job she's had in the White House, twice by the Democrats and now once by Trump. And she's been fired from all of her reality shows. And she's all about the paycheck. And, it's very
JC, that might be true. That's certainly the persona that Donald Trump and the producers over at Celebrity Apprentice created for her. And it seems to apparently match her personality. But so what? I mean, if she's coming out and saying that Donald Trump is experiencing dementia right now, if she's coming out and saying that the White House is being run in such a haphazard, incoherent fashion that people can walk into the Situation Room with illegal recording devices, if she's coming out and saying that the White House is in such chaos that Trump is calling her up after she got fired by the chief of staff, and she was the senior African-American official in the White House, and Trump calls her up and goes, damn, I didn't want that to happen. And, playing his pathetic routine, shouldn't that concern us all, JC?
Well, absolutely, but I just don't want to give her any credence because of her. She is.
I think everybody knows who Amorosa is. We've all figured out her game, her role. As in the role that she has chosen to play in her life and in her media stuff. But that, I don't think that diminishes the concern that a guy who is mentally disabled is president of the United States. That should scare the hell out of all of us, frankly. Stefan in Rio Rancho. Is it Stefan or Stephen in Rio Rancho?
Got it right the first time. Thank you.
Stefan, what's up? Thanks for listening to KABQ.
There was a call on Friday. The discussion was about civility and the mismatch between the media, the right-wing media, and what they report and what's actually happening. And one of your callers mentioned about prayers for Obama's death during the previous administration. And I wanted to know, did you follow up? Because I did. I was sure I had heard about it. And the measure of civility, to me, I identify as a Christian, is can you put it in the context of the teachings?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
Well, my question was rhetorical. What I'm saying is a senator, David Perdue from Georgia, stood up and prayed, and he used Psalm 109, verse 8.
Yeah, may your enemies be cut down and have short lives. Yeah,
it's quite explicit. Suffering.
Yeah, I remember when that happened.
This was just the tip of the iceberg.
Sure.
The evangelicals were doing it all the time.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when Trump became president, this entire right-wing hate crowd didn't just spring out of nowhere. They have been nurtured for decades by the Jerry Falwells of the world, the Pat Robertsons of the world, the David Dukes of the world. And the billionaires who run and control the Republican Party have winked and nodded at them and kind of not paid any attention to them. And so I think, Stefan, you're spot on this. And the thing that is mind-boggling to me is that these guys basically, first they funded the Tea Party, right? The Koch brothers and the other right-wing billionaires. First they funded the Tea Party, and the Tea Party, helped the Republicans seize control of Congress, with all this money that came from the Kochs and the other right-wing billionaires. Then the Tea Party, there was a piece of the Tea Party that was basically right-wing white people. I mean, the Tea Party was lily white. There was right-wing white people who had a racial agenda, of racial hatred and white supremacy. And that grew within the Tea Party. And then as the Tea Party disintegrated, as the billionaires stopped funding it, it just kind of went away. It got replaced by this hate movement, this absolute, overt, explicit hate movement that has been here, I mean, you know, forever. I mean, Woodrow Wilson screened Birth of a Nation in 1915 in the White House, for God's sake. Which led to, in 1915, the reinvention of the Ku Klux Klan, which had been dead for 30 years or 20 years at that point in time. And it just exploded in the southern states as a result of that movie, Birth of a Nation. Which, by the way, if you want to understand the history of racism in the United States, it's actually worth watching this old silent movie, The Birth of a Nation. It's black and white, it's silent, it uses screen titles. But it really gives you an insight into how these people were thinking, what they were thinking about, what they were planning, and how they were planning to do it. Oh, geez, I just hit the break, and we've got Talk Media News coming up. So stick around. We're going to check in with Talk Media News in about 4 minutes and 20 seconds. And we'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman program in just a minute. It is 44 minutes and a half past the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be back with Talk Media News in about 4 minutes. Stick around. And welcome back. Nancy watching Free Speech TV in Lemon Grove, California. Hey, Nancy, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I called a couple weeks ago to say that the indictments for 25 senators and several hundred people are going to happen on the 29th, 30th, and 31st of August. Trump's going to go down 2 weeks later, and he'll be in the mental hospital prison mid-December. So,
is this your prediction?
It is.
Based on what? Oh, I guess not based on... I guess based on her opinion. We'll see. If it was astrology or a dream or something, I'd be fascinated to hear, but apparently not. Chris in Salem, Oregon. Hey, Chris, thanks for listening to us on X-Ray FM. What's up?
Tom, I called about hashtag walkaway, but I did a little jail time out in Colorado, and not only, what they have, they charge you like 25 cents a minute for the phones, but if you wanted to do trustee time, which, means that you work in the jail and you can shave off a considerable amount of your sentence, almost about half, you work and you clean the jail guard, but that's all operated by Cisco Incorporated, and they don't pay any of the workers. You earn trustee time, but you don't even earn any money for commissary or anything, and you're working like 10-hour days in there. So
Cisco, the for-profit food service company?
Yeah.
I thought Cisco was a computer company,
food
actually.
Food service and laundry.
Wow. That's amazing. But that's not what you call it.
Yeah, so hashtag walkaway. I find this stuff, not only do I think this is being financed by some dark money, this Brandon Straka character coming out of nowhere, but I think not only is it intellectually dishonest to say, I have these 50 issues ranging from Medicare for all to free college tuition to abortion and gay marriage, that, Brandon's message is, I saw Antifa on the streets, and all of a sudden I flipped the switch and became conservative. I know you talk in your book, I believe it was either Threshold or... what was that book that you did about framing the issues?
Oh, yeah, Cracking the Code.
Yeah, and Cracking the Code, where you said that you had your friend who felt like political parties for him was more like a religion, that you could just switch, that you could just switch sides, and that. And there's a lot of people out there on hashtag walk away. So what are your thoughts on walk away altogether? Do you think this is kind of akin to just kind of switching teams?
I think that the whole walk away meme was invented by either the Republican Party or people aligned with it to encourage Democrats not to vote, not to participate with the Democratic Party. They are hysterical. I mean, they're purging the voting rolls to get people out of the Democratic Party or prevent people from voting. They're running lies, false and deceptive advertising, and to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, to scare people away from Democratic candidates and Democratic Party, all to protect their wealth, all to protect their oil revenues. I mean, they're willing to destroy the planet in order to stay rich and get richer. And we're not talking about people who are just, you know, moderately wealthy. We're talking about people who are obscenely wealthy. And, you know, their willingness to destroy this country, their willingness to do all this stuff is, to me, just a crime against our country, frankly. Thanks a lot for the call. We'll be right back. We're going to check in with Bob Ney with Talk Media News right after this. It's time to check in with Talk Media News and find out what's going on in the world today. On the line with us is the author of Sideswiped, former Congressman Bob Ney. Congressman, welcome back to the program. What's happening in the world today?
Well, thank you, Tom. I'm sure that there's been a lot of chatter, obviously, on Omarosa and the things, you know, that she's been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to point out one thing that I haven't yet seen the press dig into, and it's the talk about the SCIF room. And
that's,
you know,
the secure communications room, right?
I'm sorry, what's that?
That's a secure room that where you're not allowed to bring recording devices or transmitting devices because they could be hacked by foreign spies.
That's right, and they lock the door. You go in, they set a code, and then there's an electronic mechanism, basically, that will not allow for eavesdropping or transmission out in these SCIF rooms.
Right.
And, of course, there are rooms within rooms. And in the media, I'm seeing that, you know, that it's called the White House Situation Room, but it is a SCIF room. And the reason I'm dwelling on this is because I'm trying to figure out why she would be called into that room to be told that, that she no longer had a job. I mean, there's something to that. You don't, those rooms are to be used for national security purposes. And that, and also interests of our national defense. So I might be hyping this a little bit, but I'm trying to figure out why he would have had to have called her into that room.
That's interesting. Well, maybe there's more on this. Maybe she's recorded more that is gonna boggle our minds.
There's something because again, you would call her into the office. You would not take her into that particular room. So I think there's something to it. We don't know yet. But I bet something will come out.
Think the other shoe, when it drops, is going to drop around that fact? That's fascinating.
Yes, yeah. Because you don't use that room. We have one in the Capitol. They have them in the White House, you know, the State Department. You don't use those rooms to call employees in to terminate them.
Yeah.
You simply don't. And that's really an improper use, frankly, of the room.
Okay.
So, you know, they're talking about her improper use. Well, that's an improper use.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also looking at the healthcare issue, because the Democratic side has latched onto something, because the Republicans are in a jeopardy situation for a couple of reasons. One, they're in problems because of the fact that they did nothing with health care, and as a result of that, because their base is upset, so they're gonna lose a bit of support, obviously, on that. The premiums are going to hike up. And the other thing is the Democratic side has really gotten smart on this one, Tom, because they're targeting and they're zeroing on candidates. For example, let's take West Virginia as an example. The attorney general there, who's running in the Senate against Manchin, Senator Manchin, filed motions on the Health Care Act. So they're targeting into him to say, you know, you not only are supporting the Republican line, you tried to undo the Health Care Act itself.
Wow.
And then they're doing that in Missouri with the AG that filed there. Rick Scott in Florida, he did not expand Medicaid as Republican Governor John Kasich did in Ohio.
Right, he famously has Charlene Dill's blood on his hands.
Right. And so they are zeroing in not just the fact of what the Republican Senate has not done, you know, support health care, but they're zeroing in on the fact people like Rick Scott, in fact, even went further and didn't help people through not expanding Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Medicaid. So it's a very, very bright tactic, and it's a good one because nobody would ever have dreamed that health care would be turned on the Republicans, you know, who promised to do something about it. And, of course, the premiums are going to jump
right.
in the fall.
Yep.
So that's, you know, that's going to occur, too. And then the other story, which is interesting, has no correlation to the Republicans, but the Republicans have not been, you know, out front in tackling the opioid crisis till recent times. And it's ending up that this whole misnomer that while the opioid crisis is just in the cities, it actually is in more of the Republican districts in general than it is in the Democratic districts. Now, it's everywhere in the country, but it's a more intensity, and particularly Appalachia region and in the South.
Yeah, I find it ironic that the Republican districts tend to be the poorer districts in the United States, you know, with the possible right. exception of some urban areas. But broadly speaking, Republicans represent the poorest people in this country, and they have committed themselves to trashing poor people, you know, right on down to, you know, ripping people in prisons off if they want to send an email message. It's mm-hmm. it's just mind-boggling. Anyhow, back to you, Bob.
Well, it is. Right. And that now they're looking at prison reform because of President Trump. And then again, you had entities like Unicor, which hired people in prisons, paid them nothing, slave labor, and then made profit as a private corporation on the outside.
Right.
You know, and Republicans, again, were never for reforming the system, you know, until now President Trump is you know.
Well, now
that.
Trump wants to dial back regulatory protection for soldiers from being ripped off by car dealers and banks.
Yes, so yeah, everything, like, nothing's making a particular sense in a straight pattern.
Well, if you believe that there's any integrity left in the Republican Party, yes. If you don't, then it all makes perfect sense. But anyhow,
that's
back
true.
To you, Bob.
And then, of course, the firing of the FBI agent. I'm sure
you'll
be talking about that quite a lot today. I was a bit surprised they fired him. I mean, what took so long if they were going to fire him? You know, I think they got a lot of heat on it, and so I think it's more.
Well,
of
that's I just retweeted the notice of his being fired and said this is a sad day for law enforcement in the United States. I mean, law enforcement officials should have a First Amendment right of free speech. They should be able to, on their own time and on their own account, mm-hmm. say whatever sure. they want to say as long as it's not, you know, patently offensive or arguing in favor of violence or something like that. And this
right.
guy tweeted against Trump, and now he's gone. And if the FBI is bowing to political pressure, particularly, you know, hard right political pressure, that's a really bad sign for American law enforcement, in my opinion.
Correct. And there's a bad morale in the FBI anyway, and I think this will create, you know, more of it. And then we're watching the international story of the meeting of North and South Korea presidents. This will be their third meet. It'll be in the DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone, I assume in the place they call the Freedom House.
This
and
is next
so
month, right?
Yes, it'll be in September. They'll talk about high-level issues. So at least that is proceeding, unlike the Iran-America situation, unfortunately. Javad Zarif, the foreign minister, said today, you know, once the sanctions kick in, there will be no communication. Of course, you know, I would assume that because the sanctions can't be all
well,
put
with,
back.
With North Korea, we've got an ally in the region, South Korea, that wants to see peace
right.
happen. Is there an ally in the
Correct.
Middle East that wants to see peace with Iran happen?
No. No, Israel and Saudi Arabia do not want peace with Iran. There's a lot of other countries that do not want, well, when I say peace with Iran, they don't want America and Iran to communicate.
Wow.
They have other intentions, and it's called war.
Yeah, this is not a good thing. Bob Ney, Congressman, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Great talking with you. The news is a wake-up, right? It's time to wake up, which means we need to get politically involved. We need to mobilize. We need to be active. We'll be back with more after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.